Around the world, drones are being used for incredible projects, including in health, humanitarian research and mining. However, a recent UN report has confirmed that autonomous drones have been introduced as a weapon in Libya. Known as Lethal Autonomous Weapons System, or LAWS, the report says these devices were programmed to attack targets without requiring data connectivity between the operator and the munition. Though the report does not specifically say if the drones have caused fatalities yet, a review is still underway by UN Sanctions Committee. Joining us this evening is Professor Toby Walsh, Professor of Artificial Intelligence at UNSW and Fellow of the Association for the Advancement of Artificial Intelligence. Welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Toby, we spoke around 5 years ago when you, along with other experts in the field, wrote an open letter to the UN warning of potential weaponizing of drones. Like, it's half a decade ago. Considering this report, do you feel your concerns went unheard?
They largely went unheard, yes. We did warn exactly about this very scenario that we see unfolding today and an arms race that's now starting to accelerate, not just in Libya, but in many other nations. I did speak at the UN that following that, released that open letter, 30 nations have called for a preemptive ban, but there are other countries, including our own, that are pushing ahead with developing such weapons.
Explain what we know about these LAWS. How are they operating in Libya?
So this is a drone that was built by a Turkish arms company. Turkey tried to buy the technology from the United States, but because of their human rights record, they didn't sell them. So they developed them themselves. It's about the size of your hand, the size of a small a commercial drone. It's packed with some high explosives, and it contains some face recognition software, which is used to identify people on the ground, to track them and to fly into them. It's a kamikaze drone that will explode on contact.
Is this use of drone technology ethical?
I would counter that it crosses a moral red line. Machines don't have our moral capabilities. They can't be punished. They don't have empathy. They don't have our judgment. And it certainly would seem to violate international humanitarian law.
Is using drones as weapons ultimately removing consciousness for human decision-making or alleviating accountability?
Well, it is certainly taking humans out of the loop, and that's a very troubling problem, because only humans can be held accountable. It's going to change the speed, the character of warfare completely. It's going to mean that as soon as the battle starts, all the humans are going to be killed, and there's going to be any of the robots left. So it's going to be a terrible development, one that we don't have to go down. I mean, there are many technologies we've decided not to use. We decided not to use chemical weapons. We decided not to use biological weapons. They've all been regulated. We decided actually not to use nuclear weapons. Those are now actually regulated. We decided not to use blinding lasers. There's a whole host of technologies that we decided they were better not to have and that have been regulated. The UN is discussing this idea, but the talks are progressing very slowly. We've been talking about this now for half a dozen years.
So which countries have approached the UN with concerns about weaponizing drones?
30 nations have called for them. Most recently, we saw Switzerland call for it. We've seen the European Parliament, so all of the nations of Europe under the European Parliament. We've seen the African Union. So a significant part of the world has called for it. But sadly, the UN works by consensus, and there are a number of nations who have pushed back against the idea, who are interested in developing this technology and seeing what the opportunities of these technologies are, and feel that either it's too early to regulate, or the existing international humanitarian law might be adequate to do that. And the problem with the argument that existing law is already adequate is that that would mean, well, why did we ever introduce any new regulation? Why did we introduce a new regulation for blinding lasers or cluster munitions, all the things that have been regulated in the last 20 or 30 years? We have always, as technology has matured, we've always introduced new regulation to deal with the new problems raised by these new technologies. Most specifically, the United States, the United Kingdom, Israel, China, Russia, and to a certain extent, our very own home country, Australia, there is a program with a lot of money, over $100 million being invested by the Australian government in developing what are called trusted autonomous systems.
Has Australia invested in drone technology that's been used for military purposes?
No, not yet. There are some prototypes that are being developed. And most recently, we saw a big program with Boeing systems. It's called the Loyal Wingman. It's a rather carefully, beautifully chosen name for the system that's going to be a drone that flies alongside our latest fighter planes, being controlled by the pilot of that plane, and is going to help fight with that system, make it actually a more robust, more defensible system. But so far, we've always kept humans in the loops with our drones. But as we saw in Libya, it is possible. We do have the technology quite easily to remove humans from the loop, have the machines decide who lives and who dies themselves.
Is this a turning point in military history?
It is a turning point in military history. Various people, commentators, have called it's going to be the third revolution in warfare. The first revolution in warfare was the invention of gunpowder by the Chinese. The second revolution in warfare was the invention of nuclear weapons, and this will be a third, another step change in our ability to fight war, the speed with which we can kill other people.
Now, we are aware these sorts of drones are in use. Will it make formulating regulations or banning them as weapons impossible?
It's always easier to ban a technology before it's been introduced. It's much more difficult to take it out of the hands of the military. But actually, ultimately, almost every technology that has been regulated was one that was already in use. There's only actually one technology that was ever preemptively regulated before it was deployed, and that was the blinding laser. But all the other technologies that have been effectively regulated were already in use. And what worries me, what keeps me awake at night, is that it was only after we saw the horrors of those technologies. For example, it was only after this we saw the horrors of chemical weapons in the First World War did we actually have the conviction to go and ban them. And so what worries me is that it's only after we've seen the horrors of such weapons like these being used against women and civilians and children that we actually get the courage to actually ban them. There have been discussions ongoing rather slowly at the United Nations. I've spoken there a half a dozen times now. And a small number of nations, 30 nations, have called for a ban. But there's a significant pushback for two reasons. One is that a number of nations see this as an opportunity to increase their strategic importance. And certainly that's the case with countries like China and Russia, that they see this as a way to catch up with the US. The US sees this as an opportunity to push ahead and get ahead of the rest of the world before some regulation is put into place. And there's also a significant pressure from arms companies. There's going to be a lot of money made by arms companies developing these technologies and then selling them to everyone and then selling countermeasures to these technologies and so on. So it's good. There's a lot of powerful forces in place, not necessarily ones that are actually better for the security of the planet or for general well-being, but ones that really need to be pushed back against.
Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
And that's Professor Toby Walsh, who is a professor of artificial intelligence at UNSW, and this is RN Drive.